The goal of anxiety recovery is not just to overcome your symptoms. The goal is to also make sure you never fall back into the cycle again. But until you understand the behavioral patterns, the thought patterns, and making characteristic changes that haven't served you and letting those go, you'll always fall back into the cycle. And so I want to talk about in this video the 10 principles that I learned from recovery that I still use today. These are topics I normally hold in the mentorship, especially after someone is well on their way to recovery. We have this other program called Integration, where basically once people are responding, they're going back to living, they're pushing past their boundaries. Now we start talking about the unproductive thought patterns, the behaviors, to make sure they don't fall back into the cycle. So I want to talk about a couple of those things right now. Now, the first principle that I still use to this day is practicing intellectual humility. Ask yourself, how many times were you convinced that your symptom was something else besides anxiety? And then when you went to your doctors, they were like, nope, there's nothing. And you're like, how was that even possible? Think about all the other things in your life that you were 100% convinced that was right, and turned out it wasn't. It's not about being a believer about things. Oh, I believe this is the case. Oh, I believe it's anxiety. I believe it's not. It's more about being a seeker. And when you're a seeker, you're always questioning. Always practice that intellectual humility. Always recognize that you could be wrong. You know, when we're guiding people through the recovery journey, we've been doing this for a while, and we're always questioning whether our method works. Anytime somebody falters, somebody, has a hiccup, we always go into why does this happen? There might be some things that we are not aware of that we can incorporate in the program. This doesn't just happen with anxiety. It happens in every aspect of my life. Everything that I'm focusing on, everything that I'm trying to improve on, I'm always asking myself, do I know what's going on? Is this actually true, or is this only true for me right now in this moment? Now, this leads me to the second point, which is be very careful what you identify with. And what I mean by that is making sure you're not identified with certain behaviors or thought patterns that you have. For example, one of the things I often see is people just are identified with being an anxious person. And they're just like, you know what? I've always dealt with anxiety, and that's just who I am. Now, the problem with that is if you have an identity with something, your mind is not going to let that go. It's always going to try to find ways to protect that identity. And so a lot of people talk about, oh, I'm never going to get out of this. I will always be struggling with anxiety. And then I would talk about my own recovery stories. And what I would often find is people would say, oh, Sean's making things up. And then I would show people that have also recovered, like not just me. And people will say, oh, those are paid actors. And so what's really happening is that they're just so identified that this is going to be a lifelong sentence, that anytime you try to show them evidence, they're going to try to justify to themselves that this doesn't work, because that means they're going to have to let go of this identity. When you're on the recovery journey, and once you've even recovered, be very careful with what you identify with. A lot of people that deal with intrusive thoughts are very identified with their thoughts. And so one of the first things we tell them is, don't be identified with your thoughts. Thoughts are like clouds. They come and go. But when you're identified with a thought, that's when the thought becomes intrusive a lot of times. That's when a thought keeps coming in and you want to push it away, but it just keeps coming more and more. So be very careful with what you're identified with. The third thing is always practicing gratitude. Look, you're alive. You're breathing. So many people, if they could change positions with you, they would do that. The mind also works in such a way that, especially when you're dealing with anxiety, that you'll always look at all the bad case scenarios. It'll always focus on the worst case scenario. It's very important to always have gratitude, practice gratitude. It feels like a conscious effort, but do it anyway. Because the mind in itself is such a filtering mechanism. The mind doesn't look at reality for what it is. It picks and chooses. And your mind is always designed to protect you. It's designed to protect you. So it's always going to look at things wrong. It's always going to look at the things that could be better. And it's important for you to realize that what you're seeing isn't reality. So in order to get a better view of reality, you have to practice gratitude. What you'll notice is once you practice gratitude, you won't need so many things in life. I guarantee you, once you even get better, people think, once they get better, they're good, life is good, they won't have any problems. That's not true. Even when you get better, anxiety will get old. You want something else in life. You have other problems that you want to deal with. You know, believe it or not, I didn't think I was going to make it out of anxiety because I was doing it alone. I didn't know what was happening. I recovered by chance. You know, like I really do feel like I got lucky. Because I have this second chance of life, everything else is a bonus. Everything that I get to do, helping you on the recovery journey, you know, having the program, you know, living where I am, you know, having my health, all these things, there are a bonus. Anytime anyone has a question, the first thing we have them start with is start with a win. Even a win such as I woke up this morning, I'm breathing. Even though I'm dealing with anxiety, I'm still technically healthy. These are wins. Never forget these wins. Never forget to take time and be grateful. You will see life for what it is. You'll realize how fortunate you are, and you won't let small things throw you off. And the fourth principle is learning to live in integrity. What I mean by living with integrity is making sure you're always honest with yourself, to make sure that you live a life full of values and you're following those values, you're following your virtues. You'll be surprised how many people lie to themselves. They're lying to themselves in the sense that they think they're getting better, but they're not, or that they're not getting better, but they think that they are, or they're just flat out lying to themselves because they're avoiding some aspect of themselves that they don't want to face. All the suffering that they will experience will be self-inflicted because they're not being honest with themselves. It's very important for you to be having integrity. So when you say something, you mean it. You're living a life based on your values, your principles. And if you're not doing those things, you know, if you're only living life in terms of values and principles when it's convenient, then it's just a hobby. And so it's important to let go of these narratives that you have in your head and ask yourself, am I living within my own integrity? Am I being honest with myself? This is a level of self-respect. If you have self-respect for yourself, you'll notice other people also have respect for you. Now, the fifth principle is probably one of the most important ones of all, which is learn to have faith. Now, a lot of people think when I mean faith, it's like, oh, that means I need to be religious. That's not necessarily what I mean. You can be religious and still not have faith. When I mean faith, how I'm defining faith as the ability to go into the unknown, knowing everything will be okay, or at least hoping everything will be okay. When you're going on the recovery journey, so many people want to know, is this going to work? And the truth is that the only way to know is by actually moving forward with it. So there is this period where you're going to go into the unknown, and it's going to be dark, and it's going to be scary, and you're not going to have the answers in front of you. And so it's important to have faith. Faith gives you that courage. It shows you that you can go into the unknown and everything will be okay. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you have to have faith in religion, although a lot of people do have faith in religion, or they have faith in God, or faith in the universe, or faith within themselves. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whatever is true to you, just make sure to have faith and know the importance of having faith. When you have faith, you have the ability to go into the unknown. And even now, when I'm taking risks, when I'm, you know, focusing on other aspects of my life, like growing Bye-Bye Panic, there's a lot of unknowns, and I can do all the research and understanding as much as I can, but there's going to be a point where I have to take that leap, and I'm going to just have to move forward with it and see what happens. That things will work out. As long as you put in the effort and you have good intentions and you're honest with yourself, you have the integrity, you will see that, you know, things will surface up. It might not be this way. It might be another way. But you need to go through this way to make sure and know that it's the other thing that works. Now, this leads to principle number 6. Now, this is also very confrontational, which is everything that's gone in your life is your responsibility. When I talk about responsibility, people think I'm often referring to blame. Oh, you know, you're blaming this to for happening to me. You're blaming the fact that, you know, I'm dealing with these symptoms, or I'm dealing with these panic attacks, or, you know, I can't go back to living. And, you know, you're saying this is all my fault. There's a difference between responsibility and blame. Responsibility is recognizing that whatever situation that you're in, your ability to respond is 100% in your hands. See, a lot of people ask me, you know, like, Sean, can I actually recover? And I always say, you know what? Recovery is always in your hands. if I was to ask you, do you want recovery to be in your hands or do you want it to be in a pill or something external? Everybody would say they would want recovery within. And so in order to know that recovery is within, you also have to recognize that your ability to respond is in your hands. You can experience panic attacks, but not respond in panic. You can get triggered by something, but not react in anger. You feel like that's an automatic response, but deep down, it's actually a choice. And when you recognize it's a choice, then you're able to identify what is in your control and what isn't in your control. And so recognize that anything that happens in your life, you have no control over, but you have 100% responsibility on how you react to it. This leads to rule number 7, which is make sure to have boundaries. You know, there's always this example when, you know, you go on a flight, the flight attendants go through, you know, the safety, you know, protocol or whatever it's called. You'll always notice them say something. You know, they'll say if, you know, those masks come down, you know, the ones that, you know, those oxygen masks that come in. They say if you have a baby or a child, make sure to put yours on first before putting it on the kid. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, but I love my child. I would never do that. I would never put myself as a priority to my child. But that's not the point. The point is that if you don't put on your oxygen mask, and let's say whatever happens, let's say you pass out, I don't know what happens, you're no use to that child. You're not helpful. So it's important that you put a mask on, because if you don't put the mask on, you're not useful to anybody. And that's the same thing with having boundaries. You know, if you don't have your own personal boundaries, you're not really helpful to anybody. But a lot of people end up pushing their own boundaries aside because they might have trouble dealing with, you know, confrontation, or they feel guilty about putting their own needs above someone else's. And it's important to understand that you're no use to anybody if, you know, you don't focus on yourself. Imagine me coming up with Bye Bye Panic and Anxiety Recovery Program before I recovered myself. I spent a long time, almost 10 years by myself, making sure that what I was going to teach, if I was going to teach it, actually worked. And I see that from actually, honestly, a lot of anxiety healers too. They won't recover themselves, but they'll start helping people all of a sudden. And I always say, dude, you got to get yourself better first. And you have to stay better for an extended period of time. Again, you're not much help unless you are better and you're, you know, you're confident in what you're doing. And so it's important to understand that having boundaries isn't a form of selfishness. It's recognizing that if you want to contribute, if you want to help, you're not of any use if, you know, you're not in a good place. Principle number 8, which is learning to regulate your emotions. You will be surprised how many people are not able to regulate your emotions. This isn't just with anxiety, but everything. Feeling sadness, feeling happiness, feeling anger. Learning how to regulate those emotions. How do you regulate the emotions? Well, first of all, recognizing that you can feel anger, you can feel sadness, but you don't have to react that way, right? So I can be angry, but that doesn't give me the right to punch somebody in the face. If I punch somebody in the face, I can't say, oh, well, I was angry. That's not an excuse. You felt anger. You didn't have to punch. You know, that was your doing. The second thing, and this is basically what you have to learn with anxiety recovery, which is whenever you feel that emotion, really feel the emotion. Don't react to it. Don't engage with it. Just feel it. You know, one of my mentors would say, you know, whenever you have a feeling, die in it. Just feel it and just let it overwhelm you. And what happens is that that feeling passes on its own. You give the feeling an opportunity to process itself. And so whenever you do that, you are regulating yourself. So make sure to regulate your emotions. Regulating your emotions doesn't happen just while you're on the anxiety journey. It's well on your way to recovery. As you are, you know, living your life, if you can regulate your emotions, trust me, you'll be a very happy person. Principle number 9 is recognizing that we are all connected. You know, whenever you were suffering, whenever you were struggling, how often did it feel like no one understood what you were going through? Wasn't it so easy to feel like what you were going through was so unique and nobody could understand? Imagine how many other people are suffering silently that you have no idea about. Recognizing that pain is just pain. That it doesn't matter what's real or what's not. It's all subjective. If you can feel that amount of suffering, other people can suffer like that too. And it's not thinking, oh, well, other people should suffer because I've also suffered. So why not them if it's, you know, me? It's recognizing that if you've gone through something like this, the response should be that you would want to make sure that no one else goes through this. And so recognizing when other people are suffering, that you're there for them. Now, the last principle I want to mention, by the way, it was so hot outside, I just had to come inside. But the last principle is making sure you live a life of balance. What I often find is when anxiety sufferers fall into the cycle, there's one part of their life or multiple domains of their life where they were just too much on one direction or the other. It's very important that in order to live a long, happy life, that you have to live a life of balance. When I was dealing with anxiety, before I fell into the cycle, I was just go, go, go. I was pushing myself. I was almost like in this hustle mentality. And then what I realized is that, you know, when I was struggling with anxiety, I went the opposite direction. I stopped leaving my house. I stopped pushing myself. I almost felt fragile. And then I learned as I was going through the recovery journey that life in itself is a balance. So make sure you live a life of balance. Push yourself, but don't overdo it. Make sure you have time for play. Make sure you have time for work. And one of the things that really helped me with balance and things that I tell people in the mentorship program or people that we've been helping is make sure to do three things a day, which is do one thing for yourself, do one thing where you're pushing yourself or you're progressing or you're doing something of value to you, and do things that are social. So these are the three things I do. There's things that I do for myself. There's things that I focus on, right, which is by my panic, creating content, and doing something social, hanging out with friends. So I hope this video helps. I hope the audio turned out okay. If you want to get more resources on the recovery journey, I'll put a link down below. So best of luck, and I'll see you in the next video.